Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And the devil said,
hey, what am I don't I get credit anymore? This is Wretched Radio. It wasn't that long ago. It was the devil who made us do it. Well, no longer, thanks to polyvagal theory. You heard me. I said polyvagal theory. Perhaps you have not heard about it yet, but you will, especially if you're involved in your public school. And oh, how I wish more and more Christians were. Why? Because just like mindfulness, it is another secular... No, mindfulness isn't a secular technique. It's Buddhism is what it is. It was Jon Kabat-Zinn with the help of Goldie Hawn. Yeah, Goldie Hawn, that introduced mindfulness, a way to get the kids to just stop. We decided that having authority for a teacher, that's too oppressive. And so what do you get? A bunch of unruly kids. Well, that ain't going to work for long, and it makes life awfully hard. So what do you need? You need tools and mechanisms to get the kids to just chill a little bit. And so Jon Kabat-Zinn introduced Buddhism. That's right. It's Buddhism repackaged into mindfulness to get the kids to take a time out, breathe deeply, repeat a mantra, empty their brains. Sound familiar? And it's all the rage. Didn't start out that way. It took a wee bit. But ultimately, mindfulness, it's probably implemented in just about, can't say every, but just about every public school. Breathing techniques based in Buddhism. Why? Because we threw out the old ways of having an adult actually be in charge of a classroom. Well, guess what? There's a brand new theory in town, and it has everything to do with your vasovagal nerve. You say, what exactly is, do I have one of those for sure? You do. It's the big nerve that runs throughout your body from your brainstem all the way down. And it has tentacles, ganglion perhaps. It just spreads all throughout your body. And it contains a fight or flight mechanism. It tells you when there's danger, Will Robinson, so that your body reacts to keep itself, here's our favorite word since COVID, safe. You got to be safe. And your body is always on high alert to determine, am I safe or aren't I? That's what your vasovagal nerve does. There's a new theory. It's called polyvagal theory. And it's just that. It's a theory. There's no science behind it, but it's increasingly popular in government schools. Basically, it says that this vasovagal nerve of yours, when it is tweaked, it's going to cause you to behave poorly. See where this is going in the classroom? That means if a child is feeling dysregulated, it's because the vasovagal nerve is informing the body, hey, you're in trouble here. That means that externals, things on the outside of you, trigger you, causing your nerve to say, uh-oh, in trouble, and perhaps misbehave, and perhaps be sass-mouthy. Well, it's not your fault, child. It's because your environment isn't safe. And perhaps suddenly you go, oh, that's the problem with this theory. Because I think as Christians, we can admit externals can inform internals. Biblical counselors have recognized and identified that since the jump, that there are things that can happen to you that actually cause you to behave a certain way. That can perhaps pressure you to, but the external, the outer man, does not get to control or shouldn't control the inner man. It just squeezes what's in there. Remember Jesus, Matthew 15, he said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what comes out of you is what is in you. if your externals are causing pressure, even scary things, they don't cause you to misbehave. They're squeezing your heart, the inner man, your noose, your mind, causing it to erupt because you're not controlling it. In other words, your outer man is having way too much influence on your inner man. And therein lies the problem with polyvagal theory. All it addresses is the outer man. The only reason that these children are misbehaving is because they don't feel safe. It's not because they're totally depraved sinners. It's not because they're naughty. It's not because there is something in their heart. It's because of the external environment. That means if we can just calm down the environment, if we can make everything better, the children will feel safe and everybody will get an A. Well, actually, we've decided everybody already gets an A anyway. The point is, we'll keep them safe, which means we'll be able to regulate their behavior and we won't have to deal with naughty children anymore. That's the theory. And it is not entirely anti-biblical, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close because it doesn't address the heart. It doesn't address what is in the inner man. It doesn't address the you inside of you. And it blames your behavior not on the devil, certainly not on you. The environment is the problem. And so the secularists now are trying to implement this theory in an effort to calm down the schools and to hopefully get the kids to behave better, making life easier. Well, I think following the biblical program would help with that, but that's a digression. Polyvagal theory, while new, get ready. I'm telling you, it's coming to a school near you. Even the AI machine agrees. That's right, I AI'd it. Now, there was an article written, it came to my attention because of the ACBC conference. I believe it was in Texas. And there was a lecture that was presented there about polyvagal theory. And I thought, if it's rising to that level of interest, then I'm interested. And you should be too, because I'm telling you, it'll start in the school. You're going to be doing polyvagal theory at your work, because that's how mindfulness got into the workplace. Mindfulness got into government. It's everywhere. And polyvagal theory probably will be too. Kyle Gengel, preaching pastor, Southern Hills Bible Church in Custer, South Dakota. They got a town named after him? Yeah, they do. Custer, South Dakota. I got to tell you, I am so agitated with this guy. He delivered the lecture at the ACBC conference. And at the biblicalcounseling.com website, he wrote an article called Counseling Theory Matters, an Evaluation of the Polyvagal Theory. What agitates me is a reminder we're never happy, because I read so many articles that give you a promise in the title and then they never deliver, or it's like the 17th paragraph in. Come on, get to the point. This dude's the opposite. Pretty much every paragraph was bang on. Dude, this is so well done. And it agitated me because, well, that's good stuff. Oh, that's shareable. Ooh, that's really helpful. Virtually every single paragraph in this pretty lengthy treatment of polyvagal theory was really, really helpful. And if nothing else, it clarifies our understanding of anthropology, who we are as people, and how we go about the business of doing better, of not misbehaving, of not reacting to external environments. The Bible hits this head on constantly. Yeah, there are scary. Just consider 1 Peter. 1 Peter, it's all about the concept that what surrounds the book is persecution. And all Peter bangs on is your heart, your heart, your heart, work on your heart, work on your holiness, work on your relationships, be a unified body. You are royal priests. You're a kingdom of priests. That's who you are. And the circumstances then you'll react in such a way that people actually ask about the hope that lies within you. That's so different than polyvagal theory, isn't it? So courtesy of a pastor from Custer, South Dakota. I don't know that I've been to Custer. I've been a lot of places in South Dakota, including the very, very disappointing Corn Palace. Wow, that was a disappointment. You never been to the Corn Palace, have you, Jimmy?
I've not.
Mitchell, South Dakota, if I'm not mistaken. You drive for days, or it feels like it. You know what? I could have used some polyvagal theory when I was a child to change my environment. I didn't feel safe going to Mitchell, South Dakota. You're driving, and it's sign after sign. Hey, only 812 miles, only 742 miles. It's like, it's a building with corn stalks all over it. Oh. That's a wee bit disappointing. All the way from Custer, South Dakota, this fellow is going to help us to understand polyvagal theory because he received a letter from his child's school. We're going to start implementing polyvagal theory. And so he got on it and he put together a presentation that is going to help us identify what this silliness is. And more importantly, identifying and implementing the better way. Next on Wretched Radio.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku. Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like plenary verbal inspiration. God inspired every word of Scripture, guiding the human authors as they wrote without violating each man's personality and writing style. In the Bible, we have the very word of God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How's your vasovagal? Here's a sentence I never thought I'd use. This is Wretched Radio. You got one. It's basically your nervous system. It is a fight or flight mechanism that determines whether or not you should stay or should you go. Everybody has one, and there are some educators, some theorists who have determined that's the problem with the kids. Their vasovagal system, it goes on to alarm because they don't feel safe, and therefore their behavior cannot be blamed on anything but the environment. It is making its way through public schools. I anticipate it'll make its way into work. It'll make its way into government. It'll get government funding, most likely, but it's nothing more than a theory. And more than that, it's abiblical, courtesy of a pastor all the way from Custer, South Dakota, named Kyle Gangel, who wrote a bang-up article. How do I wish more articles were written like this? Defining polyvagal theory, which is, it's going to be in your school. Poly, of course, means many. Vegas means wandering. Huh. So when you go to Nevada, you're wandering. Yeah, I'd say that's actually pretty accurate. It's a reference to the human vagus nerve, which runs from the lower brain stem and branches into or wanders about various parts of the body. The theory, please note, it's a theory. It's not a law. There's no scientific test for this. In fact, there's very little, if any, research whatsoever. But that doesn't stop social trends, does it? Polyvagal theory seeks to understand and apply how the autonomic nervous system regulates social connection and responds to stress. The term autonomic means unconscious or involuntary. So according to PVT, which is what we'll call it henceforth, your nervous system, it's constantly evaluating what's going on out there. Am I safe? And it causes various parts of your body to respond based on the external threat. And that's what educators then are using to evaluate kids' behavior. Oh, they've got bad behavior. Then the environment isn't right. This is why we've got safe spaces. This is why we have quiet rooms for children so that they can go get their autonomic nervous system regulated, because we can't expect them to control themselves. We've got to control the environment. Just think about the word sanctification for a moment and how this undermines that for a child. From Kyle Gangel, your body exists in one of three states. The first is ventral vagal social engagement. That's the optimum state. You're operating without fear. You are cruising. That's where we need everybody to be. If your nervous system senses danger, it moves then into the second state called the sympathetic nervous activation. Well, it must be real. Those names are big. Mm-hmm. This is sometimes referred to as an elevated state of mobilization, where you go on high alert. You're prepared to fight danger or get out of there. It's referred to as a state of dysregulation. Listen for that word. It is being bandied about a lot these days in the government education system. It could manifest itself with a high heart rate, loss of appetite, anxiety, shortness of breath, bad behavior. And these people are more likely to act out, yell at others, or run away. Do you see where this is going? So if the kid is acting out, yelling at a teacher, it has nothing to do with the child. They're just reacting to the danger and the threat. Do you see what this is going to do even further to erode the authority of a teacher? You're the problem, teacher. Your classroom doesn't feel safe. You're the reason that these kids are acting like this. The third level of vasal response, the states, your body, because it can't remain on high alert forever, it just decides turning off the engine, just shutting down. I can't take it no more. That's the highest state of dysregulation. Then you faint, you freeze. That's what they call it, fainting or freezing response. You're afraid, you're sluggish, you want to be isolated. lethargic, depressed, unwilling to act on your responsibilities. You just clock out. So the goal then of implementing PVT is to help people understand how their nervous system controls their behavior and thinking to regulate the state of their body to achieve the sorts of behaviors that are most socially advantageous. All outer man. Paul to the Corinthians, while your outer man, which is your body, including your brain, by the way, it's decaying. Your inner man that's being renewed day by day. That's where you determine how you're going to behave. And it doesn't, we identify, biblical counseling recognizes there can be external things that cause pressure, but they aren't the cause of my behavior. When you squeeze an orange, what comes out? Juice. Why does it come out? The squeeze. No, that was just the mechanism. Juice comes out of the orange because juice is what is in the orange. You got to deal with your issues at the heart level. That's the problem. But it's deeper than that. This polyvagal theory, it is absolutely anthropological. This is all about who we are as people. What are we composed of? Huh? What responsibilities do we have for ourselves? So foundational to PVT is the assumption that those aforementioned states, those were developed over hundreds of millions of years of evolutionary development. You've got that nervous system for a reason. Otherwise, we might be able to stay alive and keep making babies, which is anti-evolutionary in my estimation. Even so, this is all based on evolution. We've got this system, so now we just have to deal with it. How do we deal with it? Not with the inner man, it's the outer man. So it's an evolutionary theory that all people are the product of chance mutations, survival of the fittest. What is our greatest problem? Asked Kyle Gengel. Our responses to life's pressures are simply a series of circuits firing sequentially as a result of evolutionary adaptation. So that's what's going on in the classrooms. The little monkeys, the little evolved pond scum, they've got this nervous system. It's got to keep them safe. So if it's firing off, you're to blame. Problematic thoughts, behaviors, it's the body with the wrong circuits firing at the wrong times. So man's greatest problem, what is it? Sin. Our greatest problem is our flesh. Our greatest problem is that we can't control ourselves. That's our anthropological problem. Not according to polyvagal theory. It's a lack of safety or feelings of being unsafe, which causes your body to respond to the perceived threat of danger. Now, so since feelings is what this is all about, feelings, being safe, there's no limiting principle that can specify the parameters of what constitutes a safe environment. Furthermore, how in the world do you accomplish that? I know, maybe AI and robots are supposed to help make everything perfect so that there's nothing difficult. I hit every green light. I never hit a pothole. I don't have to fill up my gas at an inconvenient time when it's raining outside and I don't feel safe. You can't control the environment. You got to live in a broken, fallen world. And that's why PVT, among other reasons, falls so short. It's because it doesn't even address reality. The cure for what ails you, the reason you're misbehaving, you're feeling dysregulated, you feel like you just want to be left alone, you're depressed, it's because of the environment. So how do we go about the business then of creating an environment that is custom designed for each and every one of us so that we feel safe and not dysregulated? It's nonsense. It's utter nonsense. It's just so detached from reality. Kyle Gengel didn't bring this up, but that was my observation. It's like, what planet are y'all living on? I mean, really? Henceforth, there will be no more paper cuts. Everybody will be safe. It's just preposterous. And it doesn't help people. And it is anti-biblical. And therein lies the problem. Because this stuff, I'm telling you, it'll make its way. Disney will pick up on this. It just makes its way throughout our society. And we're going to be dealing with it. And we need to be prepared to say, we're going to have to view this through a different lens than evolution. We're going to have to view this through the lens of the Bible, which is the lens that we really need to use for everything, which is what we'll do the next time we talk about you and your vagal vagus nerve system. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. A newly elected mayor in Idaho is showing his true colors. Dan Gookin, who campaigned as a man of the people and promised stronger leadership, has been exposed, calling Christian conservatives mindless cult member group thinking morons. The press somehow forgot to mention those views when they celebrated his victory. Gookin vowed to protect neighborhoods and support small businesses, but apparently just not the ones owned by those pesky Christians who dare to think differently than he does. The corruption of women's sports continues. In Minnesota, where 7 biological males are now competing in women's hockey with 4 of them on the same team. One woman quit, citing safety concerns. Yeah, imagine that, not wanting to get body checked by a 6-foot man. Meanwhile, in Britain, a former soccer player faces prison for the crime of noticing female announcers might be diversity hires. He compared 2 commentators to serial killers, not literally, but as a joke about how they murder fans' ears. The real offense? Suggesting they were DEI hires. British prosecutors called him an unapologetic bully for posting mean tweets. His sentencing is December the 8th, just proving the fact that in the UK, when you hurt feelings, that's now more criminal than actual crime. And President Trump signed an executive order recently protecting religious foster families from discrimination. He was joined by the Marvins of Massachusetts, who stood beside him during the executive order signing. They're a Christian couple who lost their foster license for refusing to affirm LGBT ideology. They had fostered 8 children under the age of 4, but were told that their faith made them unfit parents. This order now directs federal agencies to stop states from blocking qualified foster families over their religious convictions. Glad is currently panicking over television becoming 41% less woke next season, with LGBT character representation dropping from 489 to something more reflective of actual demographics. The CEO of Glad warns that this is happening at a critical juncture when hateful rhetoric is running unchecked. Translation, audiences are voting with their remotes. A Virginia jury just awarded a teacher $10 million after finding a vice principal liable for ignoring repeated warnings that a 6-year-old student had brought a gun to school. The boy shot the teacher in the chest, then bragged about it. Multiple staff members had informed the vice principal about the gun hours before the shooting actually took place, but she did nothing. And her defense amounted to warning against Monday morning quarterbacking. Apparently, investigating gun threats from violent students is just too much to ask school administrators to do these days. The Attorney General in Florida is suing Planned Parenthood for lying about abortion pill safety, citing evidence that 1 in 25 women who take these drugs end up hospitalized, with dozens of reported deaths. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at fortisinstitute.org. And also, don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. When we were dead in sin and unrighteousness, God provided the righteousness he requires in Jesus Christ, our substitute. If God has provided for our salvation, how much more is he able to meet our daily needs? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Salute to this lady.
My question is, from 0 to 100%, if you were to die tonight, do you know that you would go to heaven?
This is Wretched Radio. Don't know who that lady is, but she was the last in a queue of a long line of people asking Megyn Kelly questions. Megyn Kelly, formerly of Fox, was she?
Fox, yeah.
But I thought she went over to see whatever. And she, and journalist is what she is. Now she does podcasting and she has a very powerful presence in social media land. She's doing events around the country. And this woman at the very end of the Q&A asked the question. Her answer kind of breaks your heart on the one hand and gives you a little bit of hope on the other hand. This is a question that people should be able to answer definitively.
Well, I like to think I would.
God wants you to know you would. That's what God wants. God wants you to know that you have eternal life, that you might know you are saved. Isn't that why the epistle of 1 John was written? I write these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. No, that's John 20. And in believing, you might have life. 1 John talks about, I write these things. He gives a self-examination list for us to take a look and see, are we growing in sanctification so that you can know you're in the faith? You can know it. Now, at the moment, based on Megyn Kelly's off-the-cuff answer, she'd like to think she is. You know what? I would love to know she is. And I think she would enjoy knowing that you are going to arrive safely home, not because of what you do, but because of what has been done for you by the Lord Jesus Christ. The question, on a scale of 0 to 100, how confident are you you'd go to heaven, is an awesome question. Notice she didn't, now everybody's different, of course, but she's a sampling of at least one. Megyn Kelly didn't go, how dare you? That's a preposterous question. No, she's been trying to sort it, as we're going to hear. The people don't tend to get offended at that question. It's relatively innocuous because you haven't poked them in the chest in any way. You're just asking, hey, so on a scale of 0 to 100, where do you think you're going when you die? How confident are you you're going to go to heaven? Dr. Carl Brogy at Community Bible Church, that's kind of his go-to question. He holds a weekly meeting for those who are checking out the church. Well, maybe it's not weekly, monthly, whatever it is. Hey, if you'd like to ask questions, I'll be in my study at this time. But before they can ask their questions, he has some questions for them. And the chief question is, on a scale of 0 to 100, how confident are you you're going to go to heaven? For those who say 100%, he says, tell me why. Sometimes they don't know. And you can then clarify the gospel for them. But frequently, if these are people who are checking out a good Bible church, it's less than 100. That's not the score God wants you to have. He wants you to have 100% certainty, an assurance that is rock solid, because your hope is built not on you and your works. It's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. That's why we can have assurance and we can know that we're going. Use that question in evangelism. Use it. It's a good question. It seems to be a relatively inoffensive question. And you might learn a lot about the Megyn Kelly in your life.
I've been thinking about it a lot over the past couple of years, not just since Charlie died, but...
That's interesting. That's interesting. Now, if you never heard her speak, would you know that? You'd probably look at somebody like Megyn Kelly, a TV personality, and think they maybe don't have any deep thoughts whatsoever. This question revealed, I've been thinking about it. Wow, I got to tell you, when I hear something like that, that is like somebody just yelled, come and get it! You've been thinking about it, have you? Cool, tell me what you've been thinking.
For that, because I had on Father Mike Schmitz on the show.
Oh, bummer.
He talked to me about how getting to heaven may not be as easy as we'd like to think.
She has a Roman Catholic priest on because she's attending a Roman Catholic church. And he lets her know, hey, it might not be so easy to get to heaven. I got to tell you, I don't know what's easier than receiving a gift. I don't know how much easier salvation can be. Now, it demands that you die to yourself. It demands that you agree with God. It demands that you say, you are correct. Lord, I have been wrong about everything, including my sin. But that's not a work. Trusting in Jesus is a gift from God. It is a gift from God, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Megyn Kelly is being given information that, hey, maybe it's more than just believing in Jesus, and yet you're going to hear something hopeful that maybe she does know that it's about believing in Jesus.
You know, I used to think you're just a good person. You'll go.
Can anybody else hear that sound? It's coming from Bellflower, California. It's got a Kiwi accent. It's Ray Comfort. You're not a good person. I can help you with that, Megan.
I think the truth is, if you are a person of faith, if you believe in Jesus, you're going.
Okay. That is good. And what do we have with Megyn Kelly at the moment? The answer is, I don't know for sure. She seems, as you're going to hear, kind of like works are kind of important, doing stuff. She doesn't seem to have that distinction that I think James was clearly making, that faith without works is dead versus faith requires works or you do not go to heaven. But that statement is hopeful, isn't it?
But he did talk about how you actually do need to live the faith. You actually do need to focus on doing good deeds.
Well, the Roman Catholic Church, if he was giving full disclosure, you have to do good deeds in order to inherit eternal life. You have to. The seven sacraments, they must be achieved. You've got to do those things. And the scary one is the works of love. It sounds so lovely, but it's nothing but doism. You've got to love people. You got to love them. You got to love people. Well, just fake it. Maybe don't love them from the heart, but do nice stuff. Otherwise, you don't inherit eternal life. That's Roman Catholic dogma. By the way, Jimmy, when you go to the AI machine, would you be so kind? Ask Mr. AI if it has a gender. Let's ask that question. Do you have a gender, Mr. AI? And then the second question would be, list all of the things that you must do as a Mormon to go to Celestial City.
Okay.
The list is way longer than you think.
And trying to minimize the sin in your life. And when you sin, because we are all sinners, making sure you get in there and make it clean with God.
How do you make it clean with God? Do we confess our sins? Is he gracious and just to cleanse us from all? Yes, we do ongoing repentance. I don't know if she understands, though, that that's the relational aspect of believing in God versus the salvific aspect.
Or you need to do it in my church, in the Catholic Church. You got to go in, you got to face up to the priest, and you got to say all the bad you did. Very awkward. But thank God for the evangelicals and Protestants. They don't have to do that, which is reason enough to join those.
Yes. Yes, it is. But it's not because it's evangelical or Protestant. It's because it's biblical.
Denominations. But get right with God and do the good deeds. And above all, truly, and I think many people have been having this feeling since Charlie, welcome Jesus into your life. And if you're not feeling it, read up, go to church, be open to it, and ask God for a message that speaks to you. He will deliver. Thank you.
Okay. Pray for Megyn Kelly. I hope that she has more and more evangelicals surround her. It seems that the political movement, the conservative political movement, is being dominated these days by Roman Catholics. So is the Supreme Court, by the way. But conservative circles, I think of all of the people on Daily Wire. Is there a Protestant in the lot? Clavin, is he a Protestant or is he a Catholic? I think he might be a Protestant. Otherwise, I think that that's just dominated by a whole lot of Roman Catholics. That would be a good evangelistic field to get into, wouldn't it? Jimmy, did you find out what Mr. AI said?
I did.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this? Have faith in Jesus, repent of all sins repeatedly and thoroughly, be baptized by LDS priesthood authority.
That's three things.
Receive the laying on of hands
for
the gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Join and remain faithful to the LDS church.
That's five.
Maintain temple worthiness. Receive LDS temple endowment. Be married and sealed in the LDS temple. Keep all covenants made in the temple. Perform rituals for the dead.
Okay, I think, I think that's 10.
Yeah, that's 10. There's still
I'm exhausted.
There's two more.
Okay.
Maintain lifelong obedience and endurance.
Uh-huh.
And receive final judgment based on works.
And what about the undergarments? Where do those fit into Celestials? Did you see, by the way, It's the women in the Mormon church, they're very excited because they've for the first time offered short sleeve undergarments, temple garments. Because, well, you know, wearing all those long sleeves, they get a little bit warm. So this is just a little lighter weight. And apparently they're selling like hotcakes. Why? Because that's the Mormon religion. You gotta do stuff to get to heaven. That ain't Christianity. Be praying for Megyn Kelly. This is Wretched Radio.
You know that moment at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, everything is quiet, and you're alone with the truth about who you really are versus who everyone thinks you are. Your wife trusts you, your kids look up to you, the guys at church think you've got it all together, but you know better. You know the secret battles, the deleted history, the promises you keep breaking to yourself and to God. Here's what took me way too long to figure out. You can't fix a spiritual problem with human solutions. Accountability software won't change your heart. White-knuckling it through another week won't either. And Todd Friel is getting to the heart of this issue with his resource, Play the Man. It doesn't give you another list of rules. It shows you how Christ actually changes men from the inside out. How he replaces the wanting, not just the doing. The man your family deserves, that guy is possible, but not through your own strength. It's going to be through the strength of Christ working through you. Play the Man. It's available now as an ebook, an audiobook, and a video series only at fortisplus.org, because real men know when they need real help. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Krotz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you've grabbed the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truth should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. What does God's patience look like? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God is not hurried, nor has he forgotten his promises. God will bring about the fulfillment of his eternal plan in due time. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Endowments for the dead? This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, that was on your list of a dozen things you need to do as a Mormon to get to heaven.
Yeah, perform rituals for the dead.
Who? What are those rituals exactly?
Proxy baptisms.
Ah, so baptize somebody who's not there through somebody who's here, and then who gets to Celestial City?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So what are the endowments for the dead?
Yeah, proxy endowments.
Yeah.
And sealing families.
Uh-huh. That's one of the ways that the Mormon Church is so effective in keeping members. You've got to do these things, otherwise you're not going to be with your family in heaven. They press into that. Now, do we recognize that reality? If somebody in our family doesn't believe in Jesus, we won't be with them in heaven? Yes. But they make heaven about being with family. We make heaven about being with Jesus. A family would be considered a bonus, but everybody in heaven is going to be my family. Same with you. That's why Jesus said, no marriage in heaven. Marriage was a pointer to the greater reality of the fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ. That's what makes heaven heaven. The Mormon people, they're really super nice. They do a lot of really good things. It's undeniable, but they're all being done for the sole purpose of earning their way to celestial city. In other words, it is a work righteous religion. So is the Roman Catholic Church. I know that they're getting more clever with their language, but all you need to do is read the original documents, read what is in writing. And it is clear it is an onerous, work-righteous system. Megyn Kelly appears to be kind of in it, but she's hearing enough from evangelicals where she understands all you need to do is believe in Jesus and everything is taken care of. Yes. Yes, it is. Preached about this at Alpharetta Bible Church on Sunday, that Jesus wants something distinctly different than a work-righteous system. He finds it abhorrent. I didn't bring the verses in with me, but you can read through Malachi, Isaiah, Zechariah. I hate your stinking sacrifices. I hate them. They're a stench in my nostrils. I'm not going to hear your prayers anymore. Why was God so agitated with religious external performance? Because it's religious external performance. It's not that he's entirely disinterested in how we behave, but he's after something so different than the Roman Catholic Church and Mormonism and Islam and Buddhism and anything that isn't biblical Christianity. What is God after? Your lev. That's right. I said it. Your lev, or if you prefer, your levav. It's the Hebrew word for your heart, the inner person. He wants you. He doesn't want just bibbidi-bobbidi, say your prayers, swing some incense, go into a confessional booth, and just, you got to come up with something to tell the guy. And then you have to do some things to kind of get rid of the things that you confessed to the guy. He's not interested in that. Jesus woed the Pharisees for that 7 times. Some count 8, but at least 7 times. Matthew 23, woe, woe, woe. You're phonies. You're religious hypocrites. And it stinks. He doesn't want it. God wants something different. God wants your heart. That word is used in the Old Testament over 700 times. It's used, actually, the word heart is used over 800 times. But over 700 times, it refers to the inner man. You, your soul, your spirit. Interchangeable words, by the way. Soul, spirit, mind, heart. All interchangeable words. It's not a word that talks about a different part of you. It's just a different way of looking at you. A different perspective on you. And the New Testament uses the very same language. Obviously, in Greek, your cardia, your heart. And it's interchangeable. That's why Jesus said you are to love God with what? 4 different parts of you? No, the totality of you. That's what he was saying. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. It's the totality of you. That's what he wants. He wants your heart, not just performance. Performance doesn't contribute to your salvation. He wants to save you so that he can replace your heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh, so that you desire to do his will. The staggering reality behind this truth is that God actually, when he says that he wants our hearts, that he desires the totality of who we are, which includes affections, will, emotions, everything about you, it's because he actually wants us. Oh, man. He wants us. God wants you. He wants you. He actually wants you. That heart that is so filled with sin, Jesus says, yep, I want it. I want it. What I'm going to do with that dirty heart is cleanse it. And then I'm going to fix it. And I'm going to rewire your heart so that it operates rightly, so that you have more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, so that you've got shalom, so that life is not a perpetual freak out, so that you can have assurance that you're going to heaven. I want to do all of those things for you. That is Christianity. And that is why we can't back away from talking about sin and righteousness and judgment. I just saw a new sermon from Ray Comfort. He was preaching, I think, at a big Calvary Chapel church somewhere in California, because he doesn't travel very much. And I got to tell you, boy, Ray, Jimmy, would you Google, and how old is Ray? Is he 75? His voice was so elastic. It was just, and he had some rah behind it. And he was talking about the necessity of preaching about sin and that God is a consuming fire so that people understand that the gospel is about forgiveness of sins. And I thought, Ray Comfort, man, preaching that word so faithfully for 5 decades. You got to look at a guy like Ray Comfort and go, okay, you want to know that God is alive and active? Look at somebody like that. How do you have that sort of endurance, that sort of faithfulness and tenacity to just keep banging on? This is the gospel. Use the law. Preach the good news. And it's an encouragement that we've got to keep doing that. But simultaneously, we need to be showing the kindness of God that leads to repentance. And I think that that's a component where I think we could use some shoring up in our evangelism, showing God to be so amazing that you would just be foolish to reject him. Jimmy, how old is Ray?
He is 75
years old.
He'll be 76 in 3 weeks.
I'm telling you, you go, I don't know where they've got this thing posted, but you go listen and it's like, he is still preaching like a maniac. And I mean that in the best sense of the word, if there is a best sense of the word maniac. Outstanding. We got to get the gospel right. And we do have to preach about sin and judgment. But we also need to show the goodness of God through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we need to share with Megyn Kelly, should you bump into her. By the way, speaking of Megyn Kelly, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but I'm not all that politically aware. But I am aware of a trend that's going on right now in conservative circles. Have you seen the fracturing that's taking place? And no, I'm not talking about in reform circles, which is where there's all kinds of fracturing that has taken place. No, I'm talking about political conservative circles. I don't know what the deal is, but I saw a snippet of Ben Shapiro kind of going after Megyn Kelly for not being critical of Tucker Carlson, who wasn't critical of Nick Fuentes, who apparently is a fan of Adolf Hitler. So it seems that there's trouble in paradise. I don't get it, which is why next week, I think Monday, Jimmy, Megan Basham is going to join us. I don't know what's going on. I'm here. Well, for instance, I'm not just making this up, by the way. Ugly problem with political right. This was written in the Christian Post. There's an ugly new current running through parts of the political right. A growing attempt to sanitize what should never be sanitized, overt fascism, national socialism, kinist racial theory, and anti-Jewish conspiracy. So Matt Walsh is entangled in this. And it seems that not everybody is on the Candace Owen, but I don't get any of that stuff. Megan does. So we're going to lean into her to help us understand just what is going on in conservative circles, because it was really a coalition like that. You can't long hold together if you don't have a central, you don't have a loci, that would be plural, a locus, that you don't have something that keeps everybody in lockstep, because we have a core belief in something. And in Christianity, of course, we have Jesus. In conservative politics, you don't have that. And so we're seeing a whole lot of fracturing. And we're seeing a whole lot of people in those circles. Wouldn't you love to see Megyn Kelly, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, all those guys saved because Jesus saves by grace alone? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.